I'm Lauren.
And I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting Crescent City, House of Sky and Breath by Sarah J. Maas. Are you ready? This is the first podcast of the new year.
Yay! Happy New Year!
Yeah, but we were just saying how this is probably going to be a very disjointed podcast. So bear with us as we get back into the swing of it.
try to make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, there are podcasts out there that are doing full seasons on this book.
I believe it.
To try and cover it in one episode is really tough. So we'll do our best, but there won't be any recaps because there's no time for recaps.
I know. There's so much information in this book. When I was going back through, Cheryl sent me a really great like recap that actually made me like laugh out loud with several parts. But there is truly just so much going on.
And it's really like, woo! And I think it's the same length as House of Earth and Blood, but it feels longer to me. I think we're getting more, I don't know, are we getting more information? Like, I remember the beginning of Crescent City 1 being like, oh, info dump. Like,
so much. I think we're also seeing so many different, like so many different locations in this book too, right? So
right.
The meat market and then that submarine thing and like, all, you know, there's like all these like, other areas that they're going to with that have like all other new people, like you know what I mean,
and POVs. I didn't actually count them up, but are there more POVs, do you think, in this one? Like, we have, you know, Ethan and Therion getting their own
I don't know there's
I'm
a
not
lot.
Sure, but it's
I
a
mean
lot.
It's still fantastic. I loved it, of course, but yes. So anyway, this might not be the most informative. Again, we're just going to be discussing
informative, but entertaining more than informative.
Entertaining. Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for a recap, it's not here.
It's not this one. No. Okay. And we should say, like, you know, our episodes are always, well, I don't even want to say spoilerful because they're not spoilers. We are just fully discussing the book that is the subject of our podcast. But this one, because there is connections to the rest of the Massiverse, you know, there might be some references, though they won't contain huge spoilers or anything, but just references to the world of Throne of Glass and the world of ACOTAR, and maybe a few slight spoilery things for ACOSIF, A Court of Silver Flames. There's some good connections there that might come up. So if you haven't
read
ACOSIF, maybe... I think they'll have read it. I mean,
oh, interesting.
I think most people enter the world with ACOTAR.
Right. Okay. Well, anyway, if you have not read those, yes, you might get, because they're
Nothing. It's nothing big. It's just like references to like this. Ooh, that reminds me of the blah, blah, blah in this world. Or do you think that is the thing in this world that they talked about or whatever?
Right.
Nothing like big plot points or anything.
Right. Okay. Well.
Okay. Well. Let's situate ourselves here. So it's only been a few months since the end of Crescent City. So remember at the end, we had the wicked scene where Bryce kills the archangel,
and vacuums him up.
Archangel Micah.
And that Micah Dominus, still forever be my favorite scene of all time.
Oh my God, so funny.
Just like literally, she's
disrespect.
Just like, and then it's just like, you know what? And because I really fucking hate you, I'm vacuuming you up and dumping your ashes in the fucking dumpster. I just love
I loved it too. And Hunt kills Sandriel. All of that stuff is just a few months away.
Yes.
So we open up right near the beginning. We're at a party at Rune's house. And I liked this because it reminded me that, you know, when there's crazy stuff happening in the world, it's okay.
Well, wait, actually,
on.
That's not where we open up. The book opens up.
Well, in the beginning. Yeah.
We meet Sophie.
We do. In the prologue, we meet Sophie. Yeah.
Right, which is interesting.
It's very interesting. And I feel like it being the prologue, I feel like it sort of sets it up as being like a massive, massive thing of the book. But Emile doesn't end up being that big of a character. Like, it's kind of a weird, like, the whole first half
the
of the
whole
book,
Emile thing is kind of weird
they're
because it's
like
like,
looking for him,
save
and then it's like,
Emile, and then it's like, just kidding, I don't have any of these powers. She lied about it.
yeah,
And it's
right.
like,
And you know, he's a human
what?
kid worth saving, but so there's no Thunderbirds now. So why
Right,
did we learn all about the Thunderbird powers? Like, I hope that comes back in some way. Like, either he has the powers, like they manifest later, or I don't even know what I hope, but it just seemed, I don't know,
Weird.
overemphasis for something that
Yes, but
became
there must be a
nothing.
reason for sure.
I would think so.
She doesn't do anything without reason.
Yeah.
Miss Moss,
So we shortly
Party at
after the
Rune.
beginning, we end up, yeah, party at Rune's house. And I really like this because it just reminded me, like, even right now with stuff happening in our world, that you know, I'll just read this. So people are like, you know, I want to feel normal, but then I feel guilty about that. I get mad at all these people who don't care enough to feel guilty, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, when really shitty stuff is happening in the world, which is always happening in ours, you know, is it okay just to go out and have fun? Is it okay to, like, let yourself think of something else for a while? And she says to Hunt, this doesn't really bug you. And he says, no, I prefer to see people enjoying their lives. And you can't assume that because they're here, it means they don't care. For all you know, a lot of them lost family and friends this spring. Sometimes people need stuff like this to feel alive again, to feel a kind of release. I just thought that was a really good lesson for us to extrapolate to our current world.
Totally.
Just because you see people doing something doesn't mean you know what they're doing the rest of the time.
Sometimes people need that little bit of an escape, you know?
Yeah, like, just because we're talking about romance books doesn't mean that we're not caring about world events
Right,
in our
exactly.
daily life and contributing wherever we can. So you know what I'm going to do instead of, like, going through, like, bit by bit? Well, let's start with the main things that we learn in this book.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea.
So, like, the stuff that happens kind of at the end, we find out that the Asteri, who are like the gods of
Yes.
that world, they're like actual stars or whatever. We find out that they're actually just kind of parasites. So they're conquerors who've been moving from world to world. They feed on the energy of the inhabitants of these worlds. Bryce gets into this room that shows, like, all the previous places that they've conquered and what happened there. Like, in some cases, the inhabitants pushed them out. In some, they won and they fed off them for a long time. There's some really, like, disturbing and gross stuff where, like, the children were good food, but the adults weren't. So they just
Like
ate
the
all the
notes.
children and yeah, the notes. But we find out some interesting stuff. So we find out Midgard, that being the planet that we're on here in Crescent City, it's a world that they lured others to. So the original food source on this planet was, like, not so good for them, but the world itself was kind of prime. So they lured others to it to have them, like, colonize this world and then essentially farm them. So feeding on their first light, so the magic that's released when they do the drop, which we saw Bryce do in the last book, and their second light, which is what's released from their souls after death. So they're kind of like,
Which they didn't know. They thought there's they that Bryce learned visiting the Bone Quarter, right?
She learned about the second light in, yeah, the Bone Quarter.
And then remember Ethan was
That
like
was like,
so devastated. Yeah, because and they all were, because they were like, well, wait a second, like there is no afterlife. We're just
Wasn't the
nothing.
Underking like, I just take a little nibble on the souls as they go past? And then we find out, well, he's taken a cut, but then the Asteria are also taking a big cut. And you know what was interesting? And I didn't put this together. I think I actually texted this to you because I saw something online in the last couple of days. I've been very careful to stay offline because I've
I
heard
know,
that
I've heard that there's leaks.
there's leaks for Flame and Shadow. So I haven't been really on TikTok for the last few days, but I did see this one thing that talked about, you remember, so this will be a spoiler if you haven't read Echo Math, was it in the
Mist and
first,
Fury.
yeah, was it the first night where they first time that they see Starfall? And Rhys says that the what they looks like stars falling are actually souls traveling, but that there's less of them year after year. There's less of them.
Interesting.
And so this theory that I saw was that, like, this must be because the Asteri are actually, like, eating souls.
Oh, interesting.
So then those souls are not, you know, there to travel. And that's why there's less and less of them every year. I thought that was really interesting. And we'll have to see.
A theory, but yes, very interesting.
Of course, a theory, yes. So when what we learned, though, of that those people, well, creatures that they lure from other planets, some of them are fae. Mm-hmm. From what sounds like the world of Throne of Glass, from Aurelia. Like, he words it on page 762. He words it as fae that shared their forms with animals.
Oh, like Lysandra and Fenris.
I mean, yeah, all of them. Like, even like Rowan's Rowan,
everyone.
Gabriel's a lion. Okay. Like, everybody except for Aelin, who had human as her, like, secondary form. Mm-hmm. The human animal. And then the other one he says is that there's another world, a magic world, magic rich world, where only some fae had an animal form. And that sounds a lot like Prithian from Akatar. So they lured them into Midgard and then shut the door. The door was shut behind them. So since that happened 15,000 years ago, the fae that were lured there have been trapped there and, you know, descended, evolved in some cases. He talks about how they bred like pointy ears out of some of them, which is why the shifters no longer have pointy ears, even though they are still fae. And but the Asteri also can't get out to conquer other worlds. And we find out that he really wants to do that. He still has a grudge against what sounds like Prithian because they did push them out successfully. So it sounds like he wants to get back there. He talks about it being...
When you say he, you're talking about Regilius, right? Is that how you say
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Regilius.
Regilius?
Rigellus. Rigellus.
Rigellus, okay.
Rigellus. So he's like the mouthpiece for the Asteri.
Yeah.
The bright hand. He does that villain monologuing thing with Bryce at the end, you know, where like
a
villain...
Yes, where he basically gives, like, tells everything.
This is the whole plan.
what's his name? Did that too. Micah.
And I like that Bryce actually calls it out. She's like, okay, I've done this whole villain monologuing thing before. Mm-hmm. So can we just like move on from that?
Get to the point.
But Rigellus talks about that land being full of magic that he like craves and he wants to go back there. And that's what he wants with her, because now that we know the horn is part of her, he thinks he wants to use it to open, you know, just like what happened in the last book, Micah used it to open a portal to hell. He wants to open a portal to this other world so he can like get back in there.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
And so it sounds like this is an Akosif reference, but in that world, we have the Daglins who used to rule Prithian and they fed off the magic of the land and then they were kicked out. So I'm thinking that the Daglins are the Asteri.
Interesting. That's your theory.
That's my theory. Ooh. And other people's theory. So we will see more about that. But that's what it sounds like to me. And then we also find out that one of the other worlds that they had tried to conquer was hell. Mm-hmm. Hell the planet, not hell like we think of hell in the Christian sort of way of the word. But they fought them and kicked them out. And then not only just kind of let them do their thing, they tried to follow them or did follow them to Midgard to warn the new inhabitants. But those new inhabitants believed the Asteri instead of hell and pushed them out. So like throughout the book, we're getting little glimpses or little visits from some of the princes of hell. Mm-hmm. And we're getting little bits of information from them. And they're saying, you know, that the armies are ready for you to command. Bryce, we're going to come and help you. And she doesn't believe them. But at one point, Apollyon, who's like the deepest level of hell prince, is like, you know, come back when you learn the truth. Like, come back, come and find me. And so it sounds like that's all true. So hell had come to help exactly like Apollyon had said. They did. And it's just the Asteri who's feeding this other story that hell just wants Midgard.
So complex.
Oh my gosh.
That was a very good summary.
and that's just like
the end.
The end.
Yeah, like the very last few pages.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, it is. But that's sort of where we get to in the end. is, well, not the very end,
not the very
I guess sort of the climax of the book.
But that's what's going on.
That is what is happening. So this whole world, and, you know, I kind of almost understood Rigelis's point when he was like, I mean, you feed off, you know, what you consider to be lower beings. So we're doing the same thing, and we're letting you live free and live your lives and do whatever. We just take this little bit of stuff that you don't even miss.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I was like, that's actually makes sense to me, but I don't want, I don't like it.
No.
Cause I know they're the evil bad guys.
Right. Exactly.
Oh. Yeah. So that's sort of the overall, like, what's happening in this book. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about our fave characters.
Okay, that sounds like a good one. Right. So we have Bryce.
Yep.
Who we love. I feel, I don't know why her and Hunt are making themselves wait.
Why are they doing that? After everything you've been through, just enjoy yourselves.
Took so long to finally get that. I'm like, come on. I think we were texting. I mean, we read this book together a very long time
ago.
We
did.
Yeah, and I think we were like, gee, how many pages? And there's still nothing.
I actually like made notes of like exactly how it progresses too there.
I did.
First, like, you know, they're waiting, and then there's just a lot of talk, and then there's a scene where she goes down, there's a scene where he goes down. Then they have some phone sex, they finally consummate their relationship on like a squid-shaped submarine in like an underwater garden.
That was crazy though, because he was like, what, you have that in
he
here.
Was like primal.
Yes, legit primal. And it was like, X was the only thing.
She had to fuck the crazy out of him.
Basically. Yeah, it's like, okay, it's time.
and then
she teleports. Like,
yes. And they end up, thankfully, in like an empty airlock. Imagine if they end up in like the mess hall or something.
Yeah, right. Right. It was a really good lay.
Well, they were waiting for it for quite a long time. So. Yes, that makes sense.
So good. They teleported.
There's a scene after that where they're like talking about, you know, everything that's happening, whatever. And Hunt says something like, the Prince of the Pit told me about this. And Bryce goes, sex teleport? He's like, no. Not talking about sex with the Prince of the Pit. It was so funny though. Don't they do that a couple times, don't they, teleport? There's that other one when they are after the ball where they reveal themselves to be mates, which was like some wicked politicking on their part.
Oh yeah,
like,
for sure.
Because Bryce's dad was going to introduce her and Cormac as betrothed, and instead it's like, oh, we're mates.
Yep.
Yeah, didn't really otherwise.
She's, I don't know the word for her, but I love it. Yes, that's right.
Crafty.
And then that's when they are banging in like the closet, right? And they run in on Celestina and Hypaxia.
Yes.
Saying her name. Yeah. And we're like, oh shit.
I did not see that coming.
I didn't either. But I was go, you get yours. Because Celestina was in such a awful forced marriage.
Yes.
So
we were wrong though in our CC1 episode. We were like, I really think Pax and Rune will be like mates.
I know. We did say that. We did say
We were wrong.
They are not. I know. I actually did not see I did not expect Day to be who Day was.
No. Like, did you not expect it right till the reveal, or
literally not until the reveal? Had
same.
No clue. Like,
I know lots of people did figure it out, but I did not.
No, I did not either. But I really did love, I mean, again, we're bouncing way the hell around. But anyway.
We are.
It's fine. That's just what it is. I did love their, like, I love Rune.
Yeah.
More than Hunt. Now, I know, I remember I was like, I don't really know about Hunt.
Yep.
I still don't really know about him. I don't know. Like, I get their mates and blah, blah, blah. But I really love Rune. And I just loved their, like, the way they I don't know. I just felt like very intimate because they couldn't see each other really.
Super
like just,
intimate.
You know? Yeah. So something about that was just very like, I don't know, like just It
was, I mean,
I don't know the word I'm looking for. Kind of like
it was intimate.
Yeah, very intimate. But no, I'm not seeing that coming.
I did not see it coming. No, I think the first inkling I had was when he went at the ball and he was supposed to meet someone at the fountain. And then it was like the harpy was there. And I was like, no, fuck, right. No.
Right.
And then it wasn't she say the wrong code word or whatever. So I was like, okay, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then he turns around and the hind is there. So I think that was the first time I was like, oh,
okay.
Why is she there? But then, but I still didn't. I really didn't think it was going
to
be her.
Yeah. And then to find out that the hind, like at the very end, was basically like playing both sides. You know what I mean? Like the whole, which, like I definitely didn't see any of that.
And did what she could, like the whole time. Like even in that prologue in the very beginning where she drops Sophie down into the ocean, she does that thing that looks like she's just taunting where she dropped that stone in, but really she's calling that city ship.
Yes. Yes.
So the same way that, that she called it to help Bryce and them when they were caught in the water.
And who is she? Okay, wait. So who, I'm looking back in your notes. Who was it that, remember in when they would be talking and she'd kind of get like pulled away?
Yeah.
Whatever. Who was she with?
Pollux.
That's right.
The nasty guy.
That's right. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. I know. But so do we think they are mates?
I feel like we're hinted that way. There's some stuff, especially in the end, you know, like where Pollux is like putting his hands on her and it's all just like crashing into ruins, all the realizations. And he's like, so this is the guy that like pulled her out. This is the guy that is rough with her. This is the guy that she willingly submits to, but doesn't enjoy being with. Mm. And he just wants to like, he's raging. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens with mates. So I wouldn't be surprised if they are. I don't know that we know for sure they are yet, but they certainly have a really intense connection. I just think that Rune is so sexy anyway. I mean, what's that first kind of scene we have in his point of view is the in chapter 3 where it's Rune Dan and knew 3 things with absolute certainty.
Oh yeah. What's that? 54. Hold on, wait. That quote. Yeah. What is it?
It's so funny.
Oh yeah. It is funny.
You want to read it?
Yes. Rune Dan. How do we say his last name?
Dannon.
Dannon. Okay. That's what I thought, but with the 2 A's. Rune Dannon knew 3 things with absolute certainty. 1, he had smoked so much mirth root that he couldn't feel his face, which was a damn shame because there was a female currently sitting on it. 2, he had downed an obscene amount of whiskey because he had no idea what the female's name was or how they'd gotten to his bedroom or how he'd wound up with his tongue between her legs. 3, he really fucking loved his life, at least right now. I also love when Cormac comes in. Is it Cormac? And he's like, you smell like cunt.
Totally. That's like the first thing he says to him.
Woo! Like, oh, okay then. Hi. I mean, well, and it makes sense.
Yeah, she was sitting on his face. So, you know. Mm-hmm. so I feel like we were introduced to Rune in a very sexy way in this book. And it just continues. So if you go all the way to that mind sex scene, 726, and I just thought it was so hot, even though there's like, I mean, they have bodies but they don't,
right?
And it's just good.
Yeah,
good. It's 724 good. Sorry is where,
but that's starts, but. He wait, did he know then who she was?
Nope.
Right, still no. Right,
no. Yeah,
right,
he never knows when they're in the dream bridge
right.
place.
Okay, right. Okay.
Yeah, because once he gets it, he doesn't get it until they're in the Asteri lab palace, whatever.
Right. Okay.
In.
Okay.
And she's trying to connect with him. The hind, Lydia, is trying to connect with him, and he like shuts her out, like builds a mental wall, won't let her explain. So they never connect fully back and forth after he finds out.
Right.
He
right.
Just, okay. He won't let her.
Yeah.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's conflicted. Like he says he abhors her and needs her both.
I think they'll kiss and make up. And
I think they will too.
I do. I have good feelings.
But he does say, and it's true, that like the blood on her hands can never be washed off. Like she, yes, she's had, you know, best interests at the root of what she's done, but she's done a lot of bad shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
As so many, you know, of our, she's a morally gray character.
Right. I mean, Hunt, I mean, a lot of them have done
bad stuff.
Bad shit.
I saw this theory that I really hated, and I hope there's no truth to it, because I think Danica's death, like, let's just let that, like, we know of it, let's just let that be.
Yeah.
But the theory is that Hunt was involved in the death.
Oh, I hope not.
I hope not too.
I mean, again, he's not my favorite, but I like him more this book, but not, I still love Rune.
Yeah, he comes, agreed.
He comes first.
He's my favoritist.
Okay, so yeah, mind sex. Whew. He's,
yeah.
Well, while we're on Rune, okay, so he's betrothed, whatever, to Hypaxia.
Yeah, which is Lydia's sister.
Right.
Like, that's going to be awkward.
Luckily, she's a lesbian, so we're good there.
Like, yeah, well, I mean, she could be bi, for all we know.
Well, right, but I mean, she clearly is in love with Celestina.
But she's not interested in Rune. No, yeah.
She's not interested in Rune. She likes Celestina, so I think that's going to be okay.
I think it's going to be okay, too. But
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, and, you know.
Unless they, like, I don't know, man. I mean, well, you know how
Paul, I don't even know, like, how Rune could have a, like, relationship with Lydia. Like, everyone knows her as the Hind, and so I mean, certainly his dad's not going to approve, so it's not like he's going to let him out of the betrothal, but he'll just have to do it anyway,
right? I don't know. I wonder if we'll
maybe
get
his dad will die and then Rune will be crown prince, therefore right king.
I did really like Hypaxia. I'm looking forward to seeing more of them.
Yeah.
Although we end in a different world at the end of this book, but like,
I don't know how much we'll, will it be like, you know, when you go back and forth between points of view, is it going to be like that? And then like, for how much of the book is she going to be over there? I don't think she's going to get back, obviously, eventually.
Right. We hope.
So yeah, we hope. Yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully we get some answers.
But with Hypaxia, I want to know more about, like, you know, how she's a necromancer and like her tutors were ghosts. I want to know more about that. So, like,
she's
we know
a badass.
The name of one of them. We don't know the other two. Like, are they historical figures or figures that we would know of?
Right.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. That her battle with her and Bryce is pretty sweet. I can't say I love that Bryce has to get charged up by someone else every time she wants to, like, really use her power. Like, she can't do it herself. I don't really understand that. But maybe that's just a matter of her not, you know, fully knowing how to use it yet, and maybe she'll be able to do it on her own. The other thing I really like about Pax is her friendship with Tharian.
I love Tharian.
I like him too. I didn't love all his scenes.
I didn't
like,
you
some
know,
of them felt really slow.
Yes, I feel bad for him. I feel like he's trapped.
Yeah,
he is trapped.
Yeah,
right. And
he's
so
trapped because
like
of a terrible sex mistake.
Exactly. So I feel like you feel that trappedness.
Yeah.
Right. And my heart breaks for him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really like him.
Yeah. And
He
compounds his mistake. So the reason he's in this terrible situation is because he wanted to sleep with the River Queen's daughter so bad that he got betrothed to her. But now he's trying to get out of there so bad that he like swears a blood oath to the Viper Queen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, you're just going from like one, you know, ruling woman to another. Yes, it'll keep him on land, which is what he really wants, but that was interesting. So the blood oath, very much like in Throne of Glass, we have blood oaths,
right,
where people swear themselves and then they kind of have to do
whatever
that person wants them to do. It's almost like what Hunt has when he was wearing his slave halo ring. It's like he didn't really have free will.
No.
And of course ends up that way again at the end of this book. He's got that back on.
Right.
So
I love how flirty Tharian is with Bryce. I just love their banter, you know.
Yeah, all about her underwear.
I love that. So he's but again, I just feel like he's a sad soul. So
I
hope for some happiness for him soon.
We will see.
I don't know.
Yeah. He does escape at the end, so
he does.
We'll see more of him.
Hopefully we will see more. Did we go over everything with Rune? I mean, he pretty much, I guess so, right? Kind of.
Well, we
I mean, again, we don't have to go
talked
over,
about
like,
the basics.
Everything.
We don't but we did talk. It was really interesting to me. Two things in this book were really interesting with Rune. Well, lots were, but specifically right now. When he is on the Mind Bridge, mm-hmm. he doesn't think about cloaking himself or anything. But he's automatically cloaked in like night and stars, galaxies and planets, which is why she calls him Agent Night. Which is also a great counterpart, of course, to Agent Day. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't do that on purpose, right? It just like comes out of him. And then at the very end, when Bryce sees Reese for the first time, she's like, Rune?
Yes.
Like they look so much alike that she actually mistakes him for him.
Yeah.
So what is that about? Because obviously him, he literally has stars in his eyes. You know, he's like the High Lord of the Night Court. So is that can't be a coincidence that Rune is like cloaked in night and stars and all of that. They both have the blue eyes, so blue that they're violet. Yeah.
And also during that same scene, she has the star sword, right?
She does. Yeah. She takes it from, he tells her to take it at the end, right before she escapes.
And when she plops into the Akatar world, and her, doesn't it start like buzzing, starts, or whatever?
It starts shining when it's near Truth Teller. We called that one in our last episode.
We did call that. We did.
They are a pair.
They are a pair, which is really cool.
Meteorites from fallen stars from another world. So what we know as the Star Sword is Gwydion. In the Akatar world, it's a pair with Azrael's Truth Teller. So they're both like black, but Star Sword glows light and Truth Teller like glows black. Can you glow
and,
black?
And isn't black? It, isn't, doesn't Amarin, isn't it, right? Amarin's there, right? The dark haired.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's like Gwydion, right? Is that what
Gwydion.
I was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we get that. It's okay. Twin. Like we, yes. Blah, blah, blah. Yes. That is one. Yeah. So crazy. Yeah. His eyes were the same shade of violet blue as Rune's. Short hair was same gleaming black. Ugh. Those are brothers.
It's going to be interesting.
Too.
I don't know if they can be brother. Do you think they have to descend from the same stock, right? So if, remember at the beginning with the big take homes from this book, it sounds like we don't have this spelled out to us. Like they don't say Aurelia, they don't say Prithian.
Right.
But we're guessing that the world in which some fae share their form with an animal is Prithian, and the one where they all share their form with an animal is Aurelia.
Right.
So if Prithian is the world that pushed out the Asteri, and then that gate was closed, so there's descendants of Prithian that then had descendants and descendants and descendants for the last 15,000 years. Mm-hmm. So is Rune one of the direct descendants of one of those that came over? And so is Rhys. Do you want to hear an unhinged theory?
Yeah, always.
This is
again,
mine.
Theory.
Theory. So we get a lot of talk about Thea, right? Queen Thea is one of the ones that came over from this other world with her two daughters. Her general Peleus killed her and then forcibly married her daughter Helena. But her second daughter, who is never named, escaped and like used, does it say use the horn, or is it infer uses the horn? I think uses the horn to close that gate, right? And it says she escapes into night. So in my mind, I'm like, night
like court.
So could this person be night court? Could this person be like, I don't know, Reese's mom or something?
Right. Something. Yeah.
Or grandma or something like that.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't know. And escape into night. So it seems like a little convenient wording for Sarah to use, but.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, again, nothing she says is. You know, just because
by accident.
So
speaking of Rune, I like what he does at the very end. I think this is going to become important. When he's saying his goodbyes with Bryce and she feels a weight drop into her pocket. I'm assuming that's the communication crystal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that going to work cross world?
I don't know.
I guess we're going to see.
We have
someone's clearly going to try. Lydia has the other one.
We have 8 days to find.
It's only 8 days.
I think so. I don't know. I'm putting my out of office on. No one better bother me. I don't want to hear anyone. I don't want to talk to anyone. Leave me.
Yeah, I'm going to stock up on snacks.
The second that book drops on my doorstep, I'm going to be like, nope. No, no. You cannot disturb me.
Emergencies only.
Right. Do not come to me unless someone is bleeding or dying. That's it. That's all I care about. Otherwise, leave me alone. So.
Yeah. It's so different from when these other two books came out and we were like, oh, we'll read them in a few months. Yeah, we'll read them at some point before CC3. And now we're like,
oh, yeah,
we can't wait.
Yeah, no, can't wait. Like, yeah, because you know it's just going to be amazing. There's no way it's going to suck. Okay. Like,
no. Yeah. And I'm sort of feeling about this book that it's sort of like, it feels like a middle book to me. Like, you
which
know,
one? The one coming up?
No, this one that we're...
Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on. Yeah.
There's a lot going on. There's like, you know, there's not really a resolution.
No, there's no resolution.
It's just like more information at the end, right? Exactly. So it's like reading The Two Towers in the Lord of the Rings series, or I can't even remember what it was called, but the middle book in the Hunger Games series. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like one of those where it's sort of a bridge from the beginning one where you like learn everything and are introduced to the world, and then the last one where you get all the... But in this case, I actually heard someone say that this is only a trilogy. And I was like, I don't think that's right.
That can't be right. I mean, it can't be right. Well, actually, but hold up, because we clearly know we're getting crossover in this next book. Obviously, that's not a spoiler at all. Well, one, we haven't read the next book yet.
It's no, we don't know.
Right. But she's literally in the other world. Right. So,
yes.
We're getting crossover. I know she said in that interview we watched that she is working on another ACOTAR book. So I'm wondering if now it's going to kind of like
weave back and forth.
Yeah. Which, I mean, again, I'm 1000% here for it. You know, like I'll literally take anything you want to give. I still don't feel like this is going to, but I think again, like how long has have the ACOTAR books been out? And you know, Silver Flames and like nothing else has come out yet. So maybe that's what's going to happen with Crescent City. We know she's working on another ACOTAR. That's the next one that we're going to get. So who knows? You know what I'm saying? So I don't, I know, I don't know if I believe a trilogy, but like, I don't think
it makes
sense. We're going to start to get some, which is awesome because that's what we want. Please bring Aelin into it. I just want to see
Aelin. Yeah, we need a Throne of Glass crossover
here. We do.
Too.
I want
to know. There's lots of ways that it can happen.
And Dorian. Like, I just want to know. So, like, I have lots of unanswered questions. People got big mad at me for putting Dorian above Rhys on my.
I mean, the heart wants what the heart wants.
People were like,
like Rhys. He's still in my top five.
That's what I said, Dorian. Don't have, like, too much weight, but like, I just really love Dorian. Just like I really love Rune. I don't know.
Rhys, and also he's powerful, but he's also like a human. He has this like tiny short lifespan and spoilers. He's in love with an immortal. So
we've seen like a drop in the bucket of Dorian. So I'm just like, give me more, you know?
Yeah.
I'm hoping we get more. I really would love Throne of Glass crossover at some point in time. Like, I just want to know.
And I think it could happen here.
Is like, I do too. Like, I just want it. Well, I mean, I think about it. We've seen that kind of already happening when she's going through the, no, that was Aelin. We saw Aelin drop through the worlds, right? And there was some crossover during the...
There was a world that looked that the way that it was described, it sounded like it could be Crescent City.
Yeah. Well, and then, but then we see, right, in the little, what the heck is it called? Starlight? Didn't they see Aelin? Or they thought, you know, like it looked like...
Oh, yeah.
Remember there was like
the red star. Yeah.
So, you know, like I feel like... there's like
It could become more blatant.
Yeah.
It definitely could happen. I mean, there was like in this book, there was like, remember when they were in the Bone Quarter and there was like all these weird symbols everywhere? And of course, weird symbols always makes me think word marks.
Right.
Which is Throne of Glass.
Right. But they wouldn't know their word marks, right? Like Bryce wouldn't know that.
She wouldn't know that.
And then also the book. Well, the book, no, that was not. No, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Crossover? Yes.
We had the two books.
There was of the books in the library, there was at least one that was from Throne of Glass and one that was from ACOTAR.
Exactly. So
the Book of Breathings from ACOTAR and the.
What the hell is it called?
What was it?
I don't remember, but I know it's like a very simple name. I know. Uh-huh. But yes,
it's
so,
there. Anyway, it's there.
Yes. Yeah, so that's what I mean. Like, it's, they're there.
Yeah.
But we'll
the
see.
Reason I don't think, just to close that up, I don't think this is a trilogy because there's four houses. And didn't there was one interview with Sarah where she was asked how many books would be in the series. She was like, well, I'm not going to say, but I'm going to say there's four houses.
Right.
So it's like, it has to be. So I feel like the next one we're getting, I'm anticipating that it's also going to be a middle book. I don't think it's going to be the conclusion.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Everything,
with
which you. I think is fair because I think there's too much to conclude at this point. Like, Brace is in another world and then she's going to come back and like everything's going to wrap up and they're going to defeat the Asteria and kick them out. And, you know, I don't think so in one book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she probably could do it, but we would be missing a lot of other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Should we go to Brice then?
Yeah, let's go to Brice.
Because again, we're kind of at that part where she, you know, is coming through.
So she goes through the gate. So
right.
We've had, you know, the stuff we talked about earlier with Hal. We've talked about how the Asteri, or at least Rigellus, wants her to open up a gate. And he says that her chest, like her star scar, is a beacon to the world from which the Fae originally came. And he says that it glows when she's near Fae who have undiluted bloodlines from their home world. And when around those, she chooses a loyal companions or knights, which I thought was interesting wording, for a series so very mythologically based. So to me, it wasn't surprising at all, after all the hints, that she ended up in Prithian. I was like, how would she end up going to hell, actually?
Right.
Like, she doesn't know how to steer.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But if, like, Rigella said that her scar is a beacon to the world when it came, and then when Hunt blasted her with the power to like charge her up, it opened the portal, but also her chest scar was glowing. So it makes sense to me that she ended up there. But that, like, first, did you, you were spoiled like me, weren't you?
You knew
that was happening at the end.
Yes, I knew that. I mean, I feel like everyone was hard not to know that. But I mean,
everyone knew except the privileged few who read it first.
Exactly. But I mean, that didn't ruin anything for me, right? Like,
I was just anticipating it the whole time.
Me too. Me too. And I think the way it, you know, it was just interesting, right? Like, she can't understand their language. Az has a blindfold, blindfolds her, and then flies her, right?
Yes. Why does he have a blindfold in his pocket?
Well,
it's kinky.
It's weird.
Because he has shadows, right? So he could always, like, if he wanted to, if he was questioning somebody or whatever in his role as the spy master, he wouldn't have to use like a blindfold, but he has one.
I'm telling you, he's going to be the freak.
He's the dark horse. So it sounds like, you know, that she lands at their river house, right? With the big lawn.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like, to me, I was trying to figure out if they go to the House of Wind or the townhouse. I think it's the townhouse because it talks about like a living room, and then there's like a foyer and a dining room across from it. And there's like the bar cart beside the fireplace and all that stuff. So I think it's the townhouse, and it smells like bread. So like Elaine must be there.
And
bread
flowers.
And roses. And I just love, it's seeing all our old friends, but from Bryce's point of view, and like the way that they're all described, we know them instantly. Like, you know who this is when she says black boots, dark scale like armor, tall muscled body, wings, great black wings. You know this is Az, because, and then he has truth teller, of course.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, the petite dark haired female with angular eyes, red painted mouth.
Like Furies.
Yes, that was interesting. Because it's sort of pointed out to be significant, and yet we know that Amryn chose her form. She chose her fae form. So she was sort of like, the way that when we were doing the Akatar series, it sounded like she was kind of like a biblical angel.
She said
she was like, what'd she say? It was like a vengeful god in a young world or something like that. And then she saw that hole and got curious and went through it and escaped. So it seemed like she was some kind of angel before. And then didn't she have wings when she like came out of the cauldron?
Maybe she's related to whatever. Maybe she's like,
so does that mean
left the, you know, world? I don't know.
But then she, the faith form that she's in, she chose it and it was pleasing to her.
Right. I feel like we still don't really know much about
Amryn. Connection with Fury. Right. We don't know enough about Amryn. We don't know enough about Fury.
No. No, Fury's not really around
she's
as much.
Hardly in this. I thought this book went from like the first book was way more like girl power and these are my girls, my friends, to like we're in the bro club now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm with you. Right. Right. Yeah.
Right? Because mm-hmm. there's girls in here, but like they're not main characters. Mm-mm. And she's doing all the work and everything she's doing is mainly with the dudes, except for the, you know, little scene with Pax.
Yeah.
And, you know, Juniper's mad at her for like the whole book. And rightly so. Right. Like she did what she didn't want her to do. And, you know, Fury is a little bit better, but she understands why June's mad, but she does help her with Emil and stuff. And then it feels like every reference we have of Danica in this book, it's like something else that she kept from Bryce.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are understandable, but Bryce doesn't think so. And she kind of takes every one of them personally. So yeah, it had quite a different tone for me that way.
Yes.
Bryce is still super powerful, but the other women, the women's relationships were not as strong. But anyway, back to Prithian.
Mm-hmm.
So when she first gets there, no one can understand each other. Well, Bryce can't understand them and they can't understand her until she's like, well, the only other language I know, we know that she knows the old Fae. Mm-hmm. And when she starts speaking that, Amryn can understand her.
Yes.
Like, no one has spoken this language in here is there for 15,000 years.
Yes. Yes.
15,000 years again. Right. Which makes sense, right? If that's like when the Asteri were pushed out and then those that were left, you know, changed things. That's when they had the High King and then they had, you know, became the land with the High Lords and all that. A lot of change and their language evolved.
Yes.
But I love that Rhys knows it too.
Yeah.
Because we get the amazing last line in the main section.
Yes.
A voice like glorious night. Hello, Bryce Quinlan. My name is Rhysand. He still doesn't say his last name.
No, we still don't know his last name. Maybe he's like Madonna.
It's going to be Moonbeam or something.
I know.
the other thing with Bryce that we didn't talk about is she a descendant of the Dusk Court? So we talked about, I think we talked about that a little bit
in the last episode.
I think we talked about it a little bit in the last episode. Yes, we did. We did talk about the connection between Bryce and the Dusk Court. And then in this one, it's actually Rigellus that tells her that her starborn ancestors lived on a small isle a few miles from the mainland. They existed in near permanent twilight, a land of dusk. And we know there is no Dusk Court in Prithian.
Oh, that's yes.
We assume where it was is that island that the prison stands on now.
Right.
And remember, so Akasif references when Nesta was in the prison and she was hearing like people that were getting trapped in the stone and all of that. Like, was that the portal closing? You know, and some of them were trapped on one side and some trapped in the other. So, and again, with her chest star scar, when it glows near Fae who have undiluted bloodlines from their homeworld. So it glows around Cormac.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It
glows around Rune. It glows around Hunt.
Does it glow in this world?
Good question.
Well, I'm looking back.
I don't think there's a reference to that.
I'm looking back. Let's see. Well, we know
if none of them are Dusk Court, that might make sense.
Right. We know that I'm looking.
I did think it was interesting that, so remember when we meet Cormac, so the guy that's like betrothed to her and seems like a jerk at first, but then we actually find out he was working with the rebels and he was in love with Sophie. She glows around him and he's from a land that's like off, you know, it's like an island shrouded in mist called Avalon. And they keep the old ways there. They like dress old fashioned. They don't do all the modern stuff like cell phones and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're very like traditional. That sounds like where maybe the older, they're keeping the old ways. So if people came from the Dusk Court, from Prithian to Midgard, then maybe this island, they've sort of kept those older ways. So it might be more like Prithian than Crescent City is.
And she says that the way they're dressed is like
Yes.
Yes. Avalyn.
Yes. And you know what? It reminded me right away as soon as especially once they talked about the Avalyn, of course, we've talked about the kinds of mythology that Sarah uses in these books. You know, there's Norse, there's Greek, et cetera, et cetera. But have you heard of Avalon?
Not in this way.
So Avalon is like Arthurian legend, like King Arthur. And again, that's why that knight's comment kind of stuck out to me. But the mythical land of Avalon, actually I have this book that I pulled out to show you. It's called The Mists of Avalon. So this is a retelling of our Arthurian legend. But remember, if you know anything about like King Arthur, he had a sister named Morgane Le Fay. And she was like the high priestess sort of magical person on this island called Avalon, which was continually shrouded in mist. You had to like be invited there. It was hard to get there. And it said, I think in this book, that the Asteri can't even get onto Avalon through the mist. And it's also known as Fairyland. Avalon. And she's Morgan Le Fay.
Got it.
It's definitely seems like Sarah pulled some inspiration there, makes me totally geek out.
That's really cool. I wonder if anyone else has picked up. You always pick up on that stuff. I love that. Could be.
I used to be so into mythology. Sense. So when there's so many references in these books and I love it.
That's so cool.
But I would love that if we find out the connection between Dusk Court, which is, you know, non-existent, and Bryce.
To our becomes our more clear.
Because as far as it kind of doesn't make sense, but you know, in the ACOTAR world, there's like, or maybe it's this one too, where the sevens are significant.
Because
right now there are seven High Lords, seven kingdoms in ACOTAR, right? But with the Dusk Court, there would be eight. And Bryce's star is an eight-pointed star. So that kind of gives me a bit of like symmetry as well. Anyway, I want it so much to be true. I want them to have like, this is what I want in the end. I want like crossovers, like you said.
Yeah.
And then I want them to have like an open passage.
Yeah.
So they can just like keep going back and forth.
Yeah. No, there might be. I mean, think about it, right? Like, that's what I mean. I'm very excited because it's like, we're finally going to get, we know we're getting some crossover.
We know we are.
It's like,
many books in the making. Like there's been little references here and there to like, you know, the books that were in both places or where you're like, that sounds like whatever.
Right.
But it's blatant now. It's happened.
Right. It's happened.
It's canon. Oh! The other mythological thing is Hunt. We don't know enough about Hunt and like, who is his freaking father? But there's all these comparisons to the god, I guess, god of thunder, Thur, who I just think of Thor. Of course. There's this reference on page 350 where it says Bryce has a theory and we don't actually get it. Let me just get the exact section where she says she's looking at him and thinking that he looks so much like the statues of Thur that she's seen before. And she says, a wild theory, only half formed, but, and then like long dash, and that's it. So things happen and she gets distracted. So she has a theory of what his connection to Thur might be. I think that's going to become important because we also have from Apollyon says that Hunt was bred. He was bred to be receptive to our kind, which is why he's so good at hunting demons. We learn from, who is it that says it? Is it Baxian or is it Mordok? Because they're both really good at smell. I think it's Mordok, but he says his scent is wrong. It's not like any other angel. So I'm interested to see.
Yeah. Like what's, there's more on him.
Yeah. Again, it's like, I feel like we've just like gotten more information,
but
nothing's like no concrete. Conclusion.
Right. Yeah. Which I think maybe that's why he's not my
middle
favorite.
Book syndrome.
Yeah.
You think that's why he's not your favorite?
Well, I just like, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. TBD on that.
We will see.
You know who I do want to, who I love is Ethan.
Ethan. We haven't mentioned
Ethan. I love Ethan. And
he becomes a way bigger character in this book.
He does. And like, it ends very interesting with him and that whole, the mystics thing. That was really crazy. Mm-hmm. But I also love his love for Bryce. Oh, poor guy.
Yeah.
He just loved her so much.
It sounds like he's over it. Like he says, it talks about it in past tense a few times.
I mean, it's like the way he feels. Fully over, probably
fully,
like,
probably not. He probably could be like reignited,
right? But he's probably accepting that that will not happen.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, fair. That's probably a better. But his whole. Well, first off, Sabine is a bitch.
Oh my gosh, she's the worst.
But that whole, oh my gosh, that's right. And then he stole the fire sprites and the dragon.
That's right. Yeah. My that's going to have some consequences.
For sure. Oh, which just makes me think of Lily. Makes me so sad.
Lily. She does get a little mention because the fire sprites, Bryce is like, you know, she always said that she was the descendant of whatever. And which they always kind of like thought she was exaggerating, but they're like, no, fire sprites don't lie. Like if she said that, she is.
Yeah.
Or was.
Lily. Mm. I need a Lily sticker. She's my favorite.
Ooh. She's so sweet. I like them. They're a good little bit of comic relief, the fire sprites.
Yes.
But the dragon is going to be an interesting character, I think. Mm. We've got to see more of her. Because don't we learn how powerful dragon fire is? Mm-hmm. I think she's going to come in handy in the next one.
Yes. Yes.
Or the one after that. But like, we're going to see more of Ariadne.
Yes.
Although it's funny that she has the name of a spider or Weaver Goddess, but she's a dragon. But we'll see.
Maybe there's something there.
Mm. I might be mixing my mythology there, but I will look that up after.
Oh, okay.
I think and it's then Ariadne.
The mystic thing with right?
The astronomer,
one of them is like lost heir
of Fendir.
Right.
So that's super interesting. She's like an alpha wolf and Ethan can detect it when they go there to get answers about Connor and where
that
he is
part
now.
Was just really creepy though. I'm basically just picturing these like floating bodies.
I think that happened in a Tom Cruise movie. There were like these people that were, you know, psychics and they were like linked into this like common.
Isn't that how you, I've got to look it up. Mystics from Crescent City.
I'm sure that's.
It just like, I literally just picture like them floating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In like, what are those salt tanks, you know, that you can go pay to relax in?
Which is just like so creepy and weird. But anyway. Yeah.
Minority Report. That was the name of the Tom Cruise movie.
Oh, okay.
Where they like, they have these psychics who can predict what's going to happen, but occasionally sometimes they might get it wrong. So they like send out this report that says he's like, basically they have the future crimes unit. So like they predict something's going to happen and they go arrest somebody so they prevent it from happening, mm-hmm. but it hasn't actually happened yet. So they haven't actually done the wrong thing yet.
Okay.
But yeah, look, very, that's exactly what I picture.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ethan gets in there and he's like, that is an alpha wolf.
Yeah.
He's drawn to her right away. And she smells, I thought this was interesting. She
yes.
smells of snow and embers.
Yes. Which
I mean,
like, Rowan?
Rowan and Aelin?
Aelin?
Because embers, like fire, and snow is like, is Rowan and Tarrison.
People coming back? Again.
Could it be a descendant?
Could be.
Or Fenris from the.
Fenris was a wolf.
Fenris was a wolf. And Fenris, Fendir, it's like, it's pretty similar.
I know. That's what I mean.
Many times descendant or I actually don't know. I know I'm 99% sure that Sarah has said that Crescent City and ACOTAR are contemporaneous. Like they're happening at the same time. I don't know 100% if Throne of Glass is happening at parallel times too, or if the people in it could be like ancestors.
No, I feel like I saw an interview. Oh, I mean, I guess technically. So I feel like I saw an interview with her saying, like, just picture all the worlds. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but that doesn't mean ancestors aren't a thing. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
Is it, you know, is
Aelin's time period stacked right on top of Feyre's time period stacked right on top of Bryce's time period?
Right.
Or is it just that the worlds are stacked and so you can go like through and go from one to the other, but like maybe the timelines are off.
I don't know. But I feel like that has to be some kind of, again, she's not just saying anything. Yeah. So I feel like there has to be some kind of connection there.
And then we get that little epilogue at the end of this one where Ethan's been standing guard to protect that heir because he knows if Sabine finds out about her, she's going to have her killed. And it turns out he has good reason because her like second in command, Amelie, like shows up there and he's like, ah, if I wasn't here, she would have gone in and killed her. But then he has to report to like the friends and hear what shit went down. So he goes in and wakes her up, but like not forcefully like before where they like pulled them out of the water. He's just like, listen, I need to go to my pack. I need to go to my friends, but you're in danger. You need to come with me. And she like opens her eyes. So she's like listening to him. That's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. I feel like Sarah likes her mates, you know, likes to pair people up. So I feel like if there was anyone, there could be something there with her and Ethan.
I hope she
could strengthen up and then they could form their own pack and they could like challenge Sabine and knock her out. Would love it.
I know. I really though, I'm like, I hope we get some of that.
I do too.
You know? Oh, speaking of his whole little like pack, I love his group of friends.
Yeah.
How helpful they are. This book
got definitely some good Lynn. Skills, but the tech skills we've got there, we've got the lesser royal there, he's handy.
I don't know, I feel like they're like a good little they're a good little, I don't know, are those Runes friends, but they kind of
Runes friends, but Ethan, they all
Ethan just becomes taken one of
Ethan
them.
He becomes one of them, and then Tharion as well, they all kind of like adopt each other,
which is cool.
I think speaking of Flynn though, I think him and the dragon have some like cool tension between them. Mm. He wants her, I think, at least, and she's very dismissive of him, but I feel like there's some, sexual tension there. We'll see what happens.
So many things. I cannot freaking wait 8 days.
I can't wait either.
Right? It was the 31st.
I think it's the 30th.
Hold on. I'm going to look.
So just a few days after we release this episode, we'll be reading the new book.
I'm going to look it up. Amazon better not do me dirty. It says arriving the 31st.
Well, mine, I ordered from our big bookstore here. It says arriving February 7th. So So it seems like they're not shipping it out until release day. So I have gone ahead and bought the audiobook version because I was like, I'm not waiting.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I'll probably go to the store too and buy one if I find one.
I probably will as well. Because you know, why not own 3 million copies? Okay. So remember where else did I buy a copy from? I think I bought it
Walmart? A copy from Target
or Walmart, because remember
didn't they each have their own special edition?
We're going to see how many books arrive at my doorstep on the 30th. That's what they're really like. Amazon says it releases the 30th, but it says it won't be arriving until the 31st, but that probably will change. Oh, I got to yawn. I'm looking in my, thinking about the Walmart one. And now I got to look back in like my, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just going to be waiting by the door.
I expect a text the moment you receive yours.
Oh, of course. I mean, I'll probably get it before you, given the time difference, right? But like, I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, I think because I ordered the audiobook, I think those load in like right at midnight on release day. So it's not my first choice to listen to an audiobook for my first listen. Like, I'd rather read it first and then use the audiobook as my second for a book like this that I know is going to be much, you know, where it's like you have to keep track of so many things. Mm-hmm. It's a lot different from listening to like a romance.
Right. Yeah. There's more.
If I don't have the book, you can bet I'm going to be listening to the audiobook.
Hell yeah. At least start it, right? Or I guess you could probably buy it on Kindle.
That's true.
You know,
Will do that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. again, you can't have too many copies.
No.
I have an e-copy, an audio copy, and at least one hard copy of mm-hmm. all the Mass all books.
Yeah.
So.
These are like my most prized possessions. Anyway, you know who didn't really get more of, and I still, Jaceba.
I know what you're going to say. Yep.
Yeah. Like, what is her deal? Like,
well, what is she? She is something.
No, but her and Cormac have a thing, right? Like they know each other. Cormac. Remember, was that in this scene? Yeah. Where she's sitting there with the cat.
Oh, that's Adis.
Adis. I'm sorry. Not Cormac.
Yeah.
Adis. Thinking Adis.
Yeah, that was at the end of Crescent City 1.
Okay, right. And then
where they're sitting there together. We don't get much of her. You know, we know she's moved the library because it was destroyed. She's moved it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. We get that one reference when Bryce goes to her to get coins so they can go to the Bone Quarter. Mm-hmm. And then we find out the Underking of the Bone Quarter knows her, but knows her by another name.
Yeah, what does he say the name or no?
No. Uh-uh. Because I think that's going to be a reveal. I think there's something about who she is or who she was that is significant. There are theories out there that the lost library of Parthos was originally a library. There's significant libraries in all these series.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is theories about, you know, if her library originally was somewhere else and she was part of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What else?
I just feel overwhelmed when I think about all the stuff we've learned, but all the questions that come out of it is even more. So there's very little I feel like is resolved in this book. Even things that are
the only thing that is resolved and not even really resolved again is the whole Sophie and Emily thing.
Emil,
however you say his name. I mean, that we didn't really talk about that, but it's like, this whole time, that was what they were trying to figure out, the Thunderbirds and all that and all this stuff. And that's, they're trying to find him. Sophie's communicating with Danica, blah, 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 back and forth. Bryce is trying to figure all this out only to then find him. Well, Bryce, so this is where she's tricky. She figured this out and didn't tell a word, a soul.
Not even to hunt.
Not even to hunt. And she got him to safety, right? And then basically finds out he's got no powers at all. Sophie lied.
to make her parents help her get him out.
Yes. Yeah. And then has her parents adopt him. So now he's living.
Which is nice.
It is very nice. It was a very happily ever after kind of
thing.
But
it does feel like it was this huge thing that turned into nothing. And so I feel like there's got to be something else.
Agreed.
There. I feel like another Thunderbird will come up because the Asteria were legit afraid of the Thunderbird power. So now there's just none of them. So it was they could have brought them down, but now there's none.
Right.
I was like,
so it's
what?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
That was really the only thing that I feel like we got some kind of.
Because she's dead and he's human. Right. Yeah, it's sort of resolved. Yeah.
And I do feel so. And Cormac loved her, right? Is Agent Silverbow?
Yes.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That whole thing was...
There's a couple sad mates situations in this one because we also have Danica finding out she was mated to Baxian.
Yeah. That is
for
sad.
2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm glad they had that time. But that was a pretty good way for that to be revealed, where he had the tattoo on his chest that was her handwriting through love all is possible. If there was any way that Bryce was going to believe it, that was a pretty good way.
It would be that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. That was really sad.
Yeah. And then he's sort of embedded very well in the Asteris minions group. But he's undercover essentially until the end, because at the end he turns on Pollux when they're all fighting and Bryce is, making her mad run. So he reveals himself. So he's his fate is probably going to be the same as Hunt's, which of course is the return of the slave tattoo.
Oh, I know. What a sad. Yeah. Lots of sad things like that. But gosh, I don't know. I hope we do get a little back and forth. I hope we don't just completely leave Midgard,
Oh, yeah, because then it would basically be an ACOTAR book.
Right. So I hope we at least get like,
yeah,
you know, whether it's like part one is here, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's got to be both. So, yeah. Right. That's true. It has to be.
Have to get some of what's happening in Crescent City. But you're right. It could either be like the parts are separated or mm-hmm. it could go back and forth. It's just going to be a little bit more confusing. But that happens all the time in, like, say, the Outlander books where there's like, you know, we're in the 20th century and then suddenly we're in the 18th
century. But you don't think she would pull a Tower of Dawn / Storms, you know?
Mm. Do I want her to? No.
No.
Do I think she could? Obviously, because she's done it before.
Right. Really don't want that to happen.
I really don't want that to happen either. I mean, it sounds like everything's going to be shit in Crescent City for a while, right? Like,
yeah.
Everyone we love is captured or essentially can't do anything about it.
Right.
Like, as great as, like, Deck and Flynn and Ethan are, they're not breaking into the Asteri thing to, like, or they're not, they have no way to, like, free Hunt and Baxi and Rune.
Right.
I don't know how they're going to get freed until Bryce comes back. So it's some pretty terrible shit they're going to go through.
TBD. We're going to find out.
Yeah. So I hope it's not too long in that way, because I feel like either with Bryce coming back or, you know, whether she comes back alone or not, I feel like we might need to wait for that, for our three guys that are now captured, for them to be freed. So I kind of hope it doesn't take that long, but at the same time, I would love to see a little bit of like Bryce training with Cass and Az. And
That would be,
you know, it's too bad she doesn't have like a gun on her or something, you know, doesn't she? She just has the sword, right?
Yeah.
She doesn't have any other weapons on her, because I think like they would love that.
They would love that. I also feel like Bryce and Nesta would probably be like a really fucking badass.
They'd be fun together.
Yes. They both give no fucks. So I feel like those are
even
like
more.
Yeah.
Even more. Yeah. And I feel like the world of Crescent City is more, well, it's obviously more forward. It's more progressive. Okay. So I think there's some characters in the ACOTAR world that could benefit from that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like it could get fun.
It could get really fun. So I'm okay with, I would actually like a part one where it's all in Prithian. Mm-hmm. And then I just can pretend, I just don't want to hear what's happening to those guys being tortured for a while. Because I'm assuming that's what's going to happen to them. They're going to be tortured for a while. I don't want to see that. So let's just have some fun in Prithian for a bit, and then we'll get back into the hard stuff.
Oh my gosh. We had several messages, so many messages.
There was
really
our best reception.
Yes.
For like the most amount of messages we've received for a certain book. Mm-hmm.
Which we love. Over on our SpeakPipe. So thank you all for sending those in. It's also always fun to just like hear you. A lot of what was called in, we've already touched base on, but Melissa left us a message that we want to play and we want to talk about a little bit.
Hi, Lauren and Cheryl. This is Melissa. I have some thoughts about Crescent City 2, and I'm really curious if anyone else feels the same way. To me, it felt like the relationship between Bryce and Hunt in this one, it felt a little awkward, almost cheesy at times. And as I was thinking back, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Hunt doesn't really seem to have any big goals or like dreams or aspirations for himself other than just doing whatever Bryce wants. And some of our other favorite mass characters like Reese or Cassian, you know, they're out there trying to save the world. And it felt to me that Hunt was just kind of here to do whatever Bryce wanted. Because of that, we kind of lost like the badassness that some of these other male characters have. And then the other thing I noticed was just that because this book had so many different point of views, it was split so many ways that I feel like we never really got that depth of character that we got in Crescent City 1. And so I never felt as attached to anyone. Like I wasn't as sad at the end. Like I didn't sob or anything like I did in the first one, because I felt that I never really got as connected with the characters. But I'm so excited for the third book because that ending was nuts.
Such interesting points. Don't you think?
I like the word badassness.
I know. I do too. Part of me, you know what's funny? So again, I've said this whole time, like, I don't know. Hunt's just like not my favorite person. That struck a chord with me.
Right. So he's actually very, like, not ambitious.
Right. So, Melissa, I think you maybe answered why he's not that way to me. I don't know. It makes total sense to me. I mean, but also, we still don't really know a lot about him, which is something we
said. That's right. I think there is more to be revealed. I think it's interesting because some of our other messages were about whether Bryce and Hunt are really truly mates.
Yeah, are they endgame, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Which we questioned with the first one. You know, she does say, yes, they're mates in this one, but it's wishy-washy at the beginning because they say, you know, well, what are we to each other? Like, boyfriend, girlfriend doesn't make sense. And he's like, well, we can call each other mates. She's like, well, that means something totally different for us, Faye, than it does for angels. It's more like for you guys, it's more just like marriage. Whereas for us, it's like this biological connection.
Yeah.
However, later when their scents mingle, then who is it that says, oh, they're like mates? And they're like, yeah, they're mates. But it just feels a little bit, it's a different progression than we've seen before. And so I think that'll be interesting to play out and see what's what.
Yeah. Yeah. And then to her other point, I think that's fair to say, right? Like I didn't exactly sob over anyone in this book.
No, I didn't either. Yeah.
But also, like you said, this is kind of like a middle, you know, information heavy. This book kind of reminds me of Court of Wings and Ruin.
In the sense, even though that one was like the end of the trilogy.
Right. But I just mean like info heavy.
Yeah.
A lot going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. So, definitely. Yeah. I think those were good points.
We have one other message from Morgan that kind of brings up Cheryl herself does not like this question either. But it does bring up a good, like something we didn't think about, or I didn't think about. You clearly thought about it and didn't mention it. So let's listen to what Morgan
has to say.
My question is, and I hate this question so much, but does it seem like Crescent City 2 is setting up for Ethan and Bryce to possibly have a romance? I feel like there was a lot of like tension, not necessarily like to an awareness level, but just like subtle tension, and obviously on Ethan's end. But I don't know. I feel like if the worst came to the worst and something happens to him in Crescent City 3, I feel like Ethan is also a contending factor that we need to be looking at. I know a lot of people have their eyes on Az, but I feel like nobody is talking about Ethan.
Okay, so two interesting points.
Two potentials there.
Ethan and Bryce or Az and Bryce. Now,
right.
We talked a little bit
about Ethan already, how he like probably still has feelings for her, but they probably could be reignited, but he's accepted.
Yeah.
He just seems too, I don't know if what their ages actually are, but to me, he feels too young for her.
Agreed. I feel like he feels young.
Yeah.
Like college.
Yeah.
Just young partier.
And they were like best friends before. Okay. I think that's awesome. I'd like them to get back there. Mm-hmm. But I hope that it's not setting that up, I guess, now, is my answer to that one. Now, I like it even less.
I tell you, that did not even cross my freaking mind. But I guess the theory there, what is the swords? So I guess I could see.
There's the swords, and also just the fact that he was the first person she saw. So was she like drawn to him? And, you know, spoilers if you haven't read ACOTAR, but he doesn't have a mate that's been revealed. So is the reason he doesn't have a mate is because she's been in another world this whole time?
You don't like that.
I don't like it because I just don't see how it could end well. Because, you know, unless they have like even if they had like some portal that was open forever between their worlds, like they're going to just, you know, let's spend a month in Crescent City with my friends and family. And then let's spend a month in Valaris with your friends and family. Like it just doesn't like long-term seem like it would be the best arrangement for either of them.
Right.
That's why I don't like it.
But maybe
I want Az to find someone for sure. But I don't want it to be Bryce.
Do you feel like I know, but can we just like imagine for a second Az in his shadows? Well, no, because Hunt doesn't have shadows.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just, what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
Honestly, I'm just envisioning how hot it would be between. It would be.
Yeah, it would be. Like her light would shine through the shadows. And yeah, I mean, he did blindfold her already.
He did. I know. He did. He's got those sexy shadows again, which is why I like Dorian. You know,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Something about those shadows. Also, Zayden in Fourth Wing. Not to not.
That's right. Crossover. We love ourselves a shadow daddy.
We do. Shadow daddy. That's just what I need a shirt to say. Shadow daddy. That's it.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't know. All the shadow daddies.
Yeah.
It would be really hot. I mean, I don't know. I'd probably approve of Az over Hunt. I just.
You're so not a fan of his.
I know. People got big mad at me over on Instagram for saying that. Oh, where's Hunt? And I'm like, not there. Like, not on my list. I don't know.
It's so funny.
Him. No, I don't want him to be a slave to whatever, you know, like I just want him to be happy, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm still not over Crescent City 1, I think. Maybe.
Well, you're going to have to wait only and see. Like, you only have to wait a little over a week and then we'll get a few more answers. No conclusions.
No conclusions.
But a few more answers.
Interesting theory that didn't even cross my mind. Yeah. It crossed yours, but it didn't even cross mine until listening to that. So, we shall see.
We shall see. We shall see soon.
I think that kind of touches base on like just about everything we possibly
I feel
can.
Like it. I feel like it dances over
a
lot of the plot lines.
Of it. I mean, again, this isn't necessarily like a recap. It's just, but
things that stood out to us, really.
Right. I'm pumped. I am pumped. Oh my gosh. You know what's so funny? Oh, now I just need that necklace even more. Hold on. There's a girl. I don't know what that's why I liked it so much. I got to show you this. And now I'm going to have to message her and be like, I need this necklace. There's a girl who has this gorgeous crescent moon necklace. She sells them at a boutique near me. Doesn't it look like the crescent city?
It does. It looks like the logo that's on the book, like under the dust jacket.
I feel like I need it.
Huh. Yeah. That's really pretty. It's very dainty, like very thin crescent.
I know.
My kid could tell you what kind of moon this is specifically. He always knows. He's like, he looks up at it. He's like, that's a waxing moon. I was like, I don't even know what that means.
I just messaged her because now I'm like, okay, well, now I like need it. You know, just
need it. Now you need it now.
I need it now. Oh, it does. It looks just like it. We'll see.
That's really cool. Well, you'll have to show us and we'll post it if it's really similar because it's not like official. It's not meant to be official merch, but it seems like it sort of could be.
You know, it could be like my representation of.
Yeah. You know. And this is a Crescent City episode, not a, you know, ACOTAR episode or Throne of Glass episode, but we've referred to it enough times that I figure I'll throw our code out there if you want to get a discount on some cool ACOTAR and Throne of Glass merch by Litographs. We posted that as part of our holiday gift guide. They have like shirts and scarves and blankets and all kinds of stuff that is printed with the actual like text of the book. Mm-hmm. Now just be careful what you order because I ordered a Mist and Flip Fury one thinking, oh, it's going to be all Reese and Feyre, but because the beginning of Mist and Fury is all with Tamlin, there's a lot of Tamlin on my blanket. Which it's a beautiful and comfortable blanket,
but Litographs.com
it's more Tamlin than Reese.
It's more Tamlin. Let's see, they have
and we have a code for them for anybody who wants a discount. You get 10% off if you use Lit Chicks Read.
They have a lot of books.
They have a ton of books, lots of classics, some really cool ones too, like The Princess Bride, ones that I love. There's other fantasy ones in there, but they have three of the ACOTAR books and they have Throne of Glass. There's no Crescent City ones yet, but I'm hoping they will add some.
I'm sure they will at some point in time, but they do have a lot of amazing classics, which is really cool.
Yeah.
What a great...
And Outlander. They have Outlander.
Yeah. What a great gift for someone.
They really are very cool. So there's two sizes of blankets. I have the throw size. It's not super thick, which is nice because it's like, you know, those blankets that just make you too hot when you, this is probably not a problem for you
because you always like to be extra
No,
hot.
I'm always cold.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, I need it to be thick.
You need it to be thick. Yeah, exactly. But for me, it's the opposite. I still like the
Oh, yeah.
coziness of a blanket, but I don't want to get too hot. So these ones are a little on the thinner side, but still super soft. So I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I like the posters too. I should
The
get them.
posters are very cool. So it's like the text is, you know, it's not just solid block of text. It's like with the design on it. So you might have like the mountains with the three stars above, like in ACOTAR, or you might have a stag's head, like for Throne of Glass, or the standing stones for Outlander. But the design is actually made up of the words, which is
Which
just
is
really
cool.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Books as art.
Is our caffeine and curses code also still good? I feel like I
I
need
think it
some
is.
Crescent City merch.
And
Lit
she's coming
10
out with
is the
some new
code there.
stuff. I just saw her, that she has a release for, I saw one shirt that said Bryce with an 8-pointed star on
Ooh.
it. So there's some new stuff coming up there. So even if you heard about our code in a previous episode and looked at it, keep an eye out in this next couple of weeks because I'm pretty sure she's releasing some more
Oh yeah,
stuff.
that's really cool. Through love, all is possible. I feel like I need a rune shirt.
Yes. I
Oh,
have a
there it
rune
is.
shirt. I love that guy.
Prince. Love him. Cool. We'll put all that in the show notes. And I think that's it. So we'll probably do Crescent City 3. We're gonna want to talk about it right away. And I think we probably
We
should.
are.
So that'll probably be the next book that we do.
Yeah. Unless
Right?
it's, you know, yeah, I would say it's possible we might throw a romance in there in between, but we'll just sort of see how it
No,
goes with
because this is
timing.
gonna, right. I mean,
It's
this
going
is
to come out
gonna,
in 8 days.
right. So I think we just go right into it. And then people don't have to listen to the episode right away if they're not done with it, you know?
That's right.
But I think
Yeah.
we do. I think we're gonna want to talk about it. So stay
Let's do
tuned
it.
for that. You guys know where to find us over on Instagram as well as our Patreon. Our trip is coming up, which is super
Yay!
exciting. We're going to Costa Rica with some of our amazing community members over on Lit Chicks, and we are actually going to be planning another one. We got to
Yes, we
talk about
are.
it. That's coming up. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. I think that's kind of it. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. You know where to find us and stay tuned. But don't bother us for like a few days post. We're gonna be out of office January 30th for like a few days and then we'll return. So if we go missing, you know where we are. Right?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
All right. We'll see you guys soon. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.